Amen. You may be seated. Take your Bible, turn to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. I am really, really, really excited about tonight's lesson. I am going to speak tonight about God's love is inseparable. God's love is inseparable. Now, I'm going to warn you, we're going to cover a lot of words and in a little bit of time. I think I have seven things there, and then I have 11 things there. So I got 18 points to my sermon, but it's going to go quick. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on any one thing, but I want to show you a few things tonight that if you'll let it, it will change your life. And I mean this. If you take notes, you can write some notes down. I want to get you ready. We're going to stay right here in Romans chapter 8. Start reading with me in verse 35. You follow along silently. Romans 8, verse 35. Now, I want you to, I'm going to emphasize some words here. Who? Circle that word who if you mark in your Bible. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things, circle that word things. Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Now, I want you to notice a couple things here. In verse 35, it says, who shall separate us? Down in verse number 39, it says that none of these things shall be able to separate us from the love of God. Twice in this passage, God says that we don't have to be separated from the love of God or the love of Christ. Wow. Now, bear with me. I'm going to start with something personal, and then we're going to get into the practical. It seems that life is made up of being separated from people you love. It's made up of saying goodbye to some. It's made up from saying goodbye to children, or children saying goodbye to parents because they're going to college, or they get married, or they move away. Saying goodbye to friends, saying goodbye to church members. Saying goodbye to people who taught you or people who had great influence in your life. Maybe it was a boss or someone who trained you at work. It seems like the older I get, though, the harder it is to say goodbye to people. It really is. When the kids were home at Christmas, man, we had them in and out like a hotel for a while there. Mindy, I drove over to Kentucky, brought Mindy home, and then Jeff came home, and then Josh and Ruth Ann flew in. We had them all home for about 24 hours at the same time. And then they started going back, and each time one left, it wasn't any easier. And we enjoyed having them. We enjoyed being with them, but, man, saying goodbye stinks. It's not easy. And it should be. That means you love somebody. I remember coming quickly upon the anniversary date of when Brother Hiles went to heaven in 2001. It's hard to believe it'll be 16 years. February 6th, it'll be 16 years that he went to heaven. And I remember the day of his funeral. I remember I was a pallbearer for his funeral. I remember going up, and as we brought the casket down and pushed the casket out of the auditorium, and I was at the actual head of the casket. I was at the head end of the casket. I remembered thinking, this is the last time he'll be in his auditorium. I got to take him out of his auditorium. I was the last person to touch the casket as it went into the hearse to go to the mausoleum. It was not easy. I remember old Wilbur, special needs fella. Yeah. Old Wilbur, we started pushing that casket out, and you could hear him. No! Don't! You can't take my preacher away! Oh, shut up, kid. Driving me nuts. This is hard enough. But he just loved his preacher so much. Brother Hiles would talk to Wilbur every service back in the choir ready room. Treated him like a human being that he was. Amen. Just a special needs man. But that man was important to Brother Hiles, and Brother Hiles was important to him. Oh, saying goodbye to that was not easy, just so you know. Now, God tells us that nothing can separate us from His love. Nothing can separate us from His love. You say, how's that so, preacher? Because His love is not based on us. His love is based on Him.
Yes, sir.
Since He will not die, His presence will not die, nor will His love die. He never says goodbye to us in love, no matter what happens around us, and no matter what's going on in our life, we cannot be separated from His love, at least on His side of things. You see, love is based on the giver, not the receiver. Love is based on the one giving, not on the one receiving. May I give you the greatest truth that I know? Nothing can separate you from the love of God.
Amen.
I don't know if I can make a statement that moves me any more deeply than that. I cannot be separated from God's love. No matter what comes my way, no matter how hard it gets, no matter how bad it hurts, God's love will never be away from you. No matter what happens in life, God's love will never be away from you. There is no need for a pity party that God doesn't love you, because God loves you whether you realize it or not.
Amen.
You don't have to sit there and wonder, does God love me because I'm going through this problem? God loves you, because nothing can separate you from that love. No one, nothing can separate you from the love of God. This passage in Romans 8 is unbelievably special. I want to look at it tonight, and I want you to rejoice in it, not mourn over it. But please don't forget, no one and no thing can separate you from the love of God. God wants us to know this so much that He gives us a list of things. And I want to show this to you tonight. First of all, notice the who that cannot separate us from God's love. Look at Romans chapter 8, verse number 35. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Now look at me. A who? We're not talking about Mr. or Dr. Seuss either in Whoville, all right? That fricked some of you all the way back into reality, didn't it? That word who is a pronoun referring to a person. So God says here, there is no person that can separate you from the love of God. Did you know, no matter how hard Brother Stoltz might try to separate me from the love of God, he can't do it. You know, if Joe Heaney tries to separate me from the love of God, he can't do it. Do you know that Brother June couldn't separate me from the love of God, even if he wanted to? Not even old Brother Fred could separate me from the love of God. Can I tell you something? There is no person that can separate you from the love of God. But I want you to notice something. God lists a few things here, and it doesn't look like it's people, but it's people. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, or sword? Now notice that's in line with the word what? Who? Not the word thing. So God is telling us here, these are people. These are groups of people that bring these things to you, and those people cannot separate you from the love of God. Now, watch this with me. Let me show you what I mean. We often see this list as a list of things, but God says this is a list of people. So when God says, shall tribulation, it's not the tribulation, it's the people that bring you tribulation. When He says distress, it's not the distress, it's the people bringing the distress. When He says famine or nakedness, those are, or persecution or peril or sword, those are people who bring those things to your life. It's not the actual sword or peril or pestilence or distress. It is the people involved in that trying to come down on you, and they cannot separate you from the love of God. Let me show you what I mean. People who bring tribulation. The word tribulation means persecution or trouble. I like using the word mosquito. A mosquito is a tribulation. It's just pesky. If it gets a hold of you, it raises a knot and creates a welt and an itch and a sore. And it's pesky. That's what tribulation is. Tribulation is somebody that brings trouble to you. Someone who brings persecution to you. Can I tell you something? Somebody that's troubling you, somebody that's persecuting you, they cannot separate you from the love of God.
Amen.
It's not the persecution. It's not the trouble. It's the person bringing it, God says, to stay away from. Because they can't separate you. People who bring distress. The word distress means the word stress. It actually means squeezing. Do you ever get stress and you feel it in your shoulders and your neck? Feels like somebody just got a hold of you and won't let go. It's that squeeze. God says there are people that will squeeze you in life. They just put the pressure on. They're constantly squeezing things out of you. I've worked in places before where you've either had a boss or a supervisor or somebody that worked there. And they were impossible to deal with. They just kept on squeezing to the point where you wanted to pop them like a zit. You know, and squish them everywhere. Now, God says those are the people, but those people can't separate you from the love of God. So many times we look at the situation instead of the delivery person. God says, though stress is there, though distress is there, the person that brought it to you can't separate you from the love of God. That's why you can love your enemy. You have the ability to love your enemy even though you don't want to. Say, why? Well, they're putting pressure on me. Okay, put pressure on them by loving them. That person can't separate you from God's love. Their job from the devil is to try to get you to think that. But they can't separate you. The next word, persecution. People who bring persecution. That means bringing slander or opposition. Did you ever meet that person that whatever you said, they said the exact opposite?
Yep.
Oh, I love them. Those are the kind of people that I just love in life. I'd like to pop them right in the mouth. It doesn't matter what you say, they're going to say the opposite. So I learned how to say what I wanted in the opposite so they'll agree with me, and they didn't know it. I learned how to work them people. That's what a persecutor is. They bring slander. Do you ever have somebody say something that wasn't true about you? I know that's hard to believe. But believe it or not, it even happens in my life a little bit. Good night. It's amazing. You know, about the time you think you got it tough, just realize there's people that have it a whole lot worse.
Right.
Every day this week, I've dealt with tragedy. Every day. Monday morning, I got a text from a pastor friend of mine in the distant state. He said, pray for this family. This guy's a Christian coach in a Christian school. His house caught on fire. And the dad and the son with Down syndrome died in the fire. Mother is in the hospital. I think one of the girls died in the fire as well. Three family. Mom just got out of the hospital today planning a triple funeral. Oh, my soul. Brother Joe this morning, near accident. I got a phone call this week. Brother Jimbo's sister found out she's got brain cancer. She's got lung cancer. She's got bone cancer. She's got liver cancer. She got it all through her. I mean, every day of my week this week's been like this. I could go on. You know, it's a wonder that I'm not depressed all the time. But can I tell you something? God loves me, and I can't be separated from that love.
Amen.
I can't. Say, well, preacher, then why all this? Because that's life. And we're going to talk about that in a second here. But persecution. people who bring next famine. That word famine means destitute or dearth. When the boss just laid you off and you don't have a job. When there's more bills at the end of the month than you have paycheck. When you're on your back with nothing. Amen. When you face 5-way bypass surgery and the disability doesn't come and the paychecks aren't coming. That's called being famine. But God says even the people that bring that can't separate you from the love of God. The Bible says nakedness. The people who bring nakedness. Now, this is a multi-layered thing, and I'm not going to go into this in high detail, but it literally has to do with the destituteness of our society and advertising and the nakedness going on in society today. Fashion. I still believe it's wrong for a lady to show her thighs in public. It's nakedness. I just think it's wrong for a man to show his thighs in public. Nakedness is defined by the thigh being exposed. I'm going to preach it till the day I die because it's not my standard, it's God's. Amen. I believe a man ought to dress like a man, a woman ought to dress like a woman.
Yes,
I think we ought not have to wonder what it is. Amen. I think a man ought to cut his hair like a man, a woman ought to cut her hair like a lady. Amen. I think it shouldn't be half woman on one side and half man on the other.
Right.
Lord have mercy. And the worldly style is take as much off as is legally acceptable and then some. They can't sell a pencil without nakedness anymore. People who bring that, they can't separate us from the love of God. It's one reason I think it's dangerous for young people to have cell phones, because you have so much available. That's not a phone. That is an open computer, and it is very dangerous.
Yes,
we have demoralized our society.
Right.
Do you know there was a day when a lady wouldn't be caught in public with her thighs showing? Just flat out. Matter of fact, if a lady showed her knees in public, she was considered a hussy. I know that's not a nice word, but that's what they were called.
Yes.
Just for showing the knees. And I'm not mad. I'm just telling you what the truth is. And I'm not going to get into that right now because I have so much more to go. Then, people who bring peril. That word peril is danger. Stay away from people that bring you danger. People that bring danger to you can't separate you from the love of God. Scare tactics. The older you get, the more people try to scare you into scams and everything else. Good night. There's all kinds of scams out there. If it's too good to be true, it's too good to be true. People who bring sword, that's the war or punishment. War or punishment. You know, we live in a violent society. There's a guy going to jail, I think, in Maryland, a guy in his 20s who molested an 80-year-old neighbor who has special needs. Thank God he's getting a life sentence. Yeah, what he needs is somebody take him out behind the jail and beat the living daylights out of him. Every day till he doesn't make it. Now, that's in my opinion what needs done. You say why? Because he brought war on. He brought punishment on himself. Now, notice that God says the people who do these things cannot separate us from God's love. Can I tell you something? Avoid the people that cause these things. The best way not to get dejected at God is to avoid the people that bring these kind of things. Some of us put ourselves in situations where we're around these people all the time and we wonder why our faith wanes. If there are people in my life I know that are going to cause trouble, I avoid them at all cost. There are some people in my life, if I meet up with them, they're going to create war. So I avoid them. I can be a better friend by avoiding them than I can trying to make it, you know, kiss and make up. Brother Stoltz and I were working on a situation today, and I said, I love that person, but it's better for me not to spend time with that person because apparently my lifestyle and theirs has changed, and I didn't change. And they want nothing to do with me, and I can be their friend at a distance. I'm not angry with them. If they walk through that door, I'd reach my hand out and say, good to see you. I'd even give them a hug, say, glad you're here. But they're not going to stay long, not because of me, but because of them. But I'm not going to go to where they are. Make sense? Why should I go somewhere? You know, if you stick your hand in a fish tank and a shark bites you, and you got your arm bleeding, are you going to stick your hand back in there? But that's what many of us do in life. We think because they share the same last name, they share the same family, they share the same whatever, that, well, we used to get along. Yeah, you used to, but they've changed. You haven't. Don't worry. You know, I don't stick a bloody hand in a shark tank. Matter of fact, I don't stick anything in a shark tank. You say, why? Because I'm going to avoid the potential danger that's there. We ought to avoid those type of people. Can I tell you something? Don't question God's love when these people come. They can't separate you from God's love. I don't understand why God keeps putting them in my place. Maybe God told you to stay away from them and you're not listening. Now I got to hurry. Whew. Somebody shoot that clock. We can conquer the things that come our way through the love of God. Look at verse number 37. Nay, in all these things. Now, notice the term, these things. That means there's a list to follow. Nay, in all these things, we are more than, what's the next word? Conquerors through him that loved us. Now, I want you to notice something. We as Christians have the ability to use God's love in our life and conquer the things that want to separate you from his love. You can conquer the people and you can conquer the things that separate you from the love of God, because God's not going to separate. When you got saved, the Holy Spirit of God moved inside of you. And when the Holy Spirit moved inside of you, you also got the availability to love with God's love through you. Amen. You have something wherewith to love with. 1 John 4:7-8, beloved, let us love one another. For love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. So the moment you get saved, the Holy Spirit moves in, you have direct access to the pipeline of God's love, and he can then love through you. Now, that's how you conquer these things. You don't conquer them in your flesh. You don't conquer them your way. You don't say, well, that person used to be right and they've gone astray. I think I could love them back. No, you can't. You love them with the love of God. And sometimes God loves says, separate yourselves. Mark them which cause division among you and separate from them, that by their loneliness they might repent. Everybody doing okay? All this junk about let's all get together even though we disagree and we won't talk about our disagreements and let's just all get together. It's a bunch of hogwash. Bunch of liberals. We must yield to the Holy Spirit. Man, hit that crack. Don't do that. We must yield to the Holy Spirit and ask for the love of God to work through us. I've got to get that thing fixed. We need to let the love of God, let God love through us. Let me use this illustration. We should be a conduit or a pipe. We need to be that pipeline between God and everybody else and let God's love flow through us. That's how you get the love of God to overcome the things that will try to separate you from the love of God. Now, I've got to hurry. What are the things that will try to separate you? Let me show you. This is a long list, but we're going to run through it very quickly. Verses 38 and 39. For I'm persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Now, I want you to notice, death cannot separate us. Amen. We should not let the death of a friend or a loved one cause us separation in our love for God. Not at all. And I'm just going to go ahead and say this. Sin
causes death, not God.
Right.
Every one of us are born sinners. Every one of us are going to die because of our sin. We disobeyed God. We may not like when our sin causes death, but may I tell you, sin causes death.
Yes, sir.
If we chose when we died, we would never die. Say, well, it's just not fair for some to live longer than others, and good people have to die. Good people are sinners too. And God's not to blame for it. Our sin causes our death. It's not God's fault that you sinned, it's your fault. And no matter how much we love somebody, death is coming. It may come as an infant in the womb. It may come as a newborn child. It may come as a child in a fire or whatever. It may come as a teenager. It may come as an accident in a young person's life, or cancer or some other disease. It may come as a middle age or an older person, but death is going to come to all. Death is not a respecter of age.
That's right.
May I be cruel for a moment, but caskets come in all sizes. I have preached funerals for caskets that would sit on the top of this pulpit. I have preached services for folks that have gone to heaven that are over 100 years old, and everybody in between. Scores and scores and scores and scores and scores and probably hundreds of funerals I've preached and been at. Can I tell you something? Death is not a respecter of any size, age, person, goodness, or badness. It comes to all. Now, let me make this statement. The grief of death should cause us to get closer to God, not farther away. Why is it, and please don't get mad at me if you've said this. I don't know that you've said it. Thanks, Brother Ron. Sorry, that was too good to waste. And I didn't call you, Wiley did. why is it, and if you've said this, I don't remember, so I'm not talking about you. I've heard this, though, a couple hundred times in my ministry. The hardest place to go after somebody dies is to go back to church. I don't understand that. I'm not saying that you're wrong with God. I'm just saying, why would you feel that way? Because God's love is there. You're allowing death to separate you from the love of God, and death does not have to separate you from the love of God. Next, life. We should not let the events of living life take us away from God. That term life means the events of life. Why is it that we get so busy that we can't go to church and serve God? When... I tell people this all the time. If I'm too busy to help the people that I love in this ministry, then I'm too busy.
Yes, sir.
Amen. If I'm too busy to do what God wants me to do, I'm too busy.
Yes, sir.
I have to change what I'm doing. I have to reorganize when I do what I do. I will take whatever time necessary to help whoever I need to help in this ministry. I'll promise you. Doesn't matter what time of day, doesn't matter what time of night, doesn't matter how many times you go in the hospital, I'm going to be there. Say why? Because I love you. And if I'm too busy to do that, I'm too busy. Everybody doing all right? The events of life are not to judge God's love, because our lives contain sin against God. I was proud of Brother Joe today. Got in that accident again. We're going to call him Brother Crash. But got in that accident, you know, not one time. You know what he said? Praise God, it wasn't any worse, Brother Bush. What a spiritual statement. I didn't hear this statement. I don't know why God had that happen to me today. So many people want to blame God. God didn't cause that to happen. Why blame God for it? So many of us want to blame God for the events of life. God didn't sin. It's not God's fault that happened. Well, God, you know, we went through that a couple weeks ago in a sermon on a Sunday morning, remember? God's justice has to allow it, but God's mercy is there to get you through. So the events of life shouldn't separate you from the love of God. I've got to hurry. Next, angels cannot separate us from God's love. Spiritual beings that are evil cannot separate you. Not all angels are good. A portion of the angels that were in heaven fell, and they're called demons today. Those are still angels to God. Did you ever notice when Jesus was casting demons out of people and talking to them in the New Testament, they would say, "I know who thou art"? Say why? Because they knew him in heaven and he was their boss. That's why they had to obey him. He knew who they were before they were bad, and he knew them when they were bad. These angels aren't always good people. And by the way, don't believe Hollywood and what Hollywood angels are. Okay? They don't come back in human life form and guide you through life. I know this. Brother Joe's got a guardian angel that's working triple time. His angel doesn't have any hair left either. Keep pulling his hair out every time Brother Joe gets behind the wheel. Whew! God had to hire three more to put on every corner of the car, amen? Lord have mercy. Can I tell you something? We're not supposed to be worried about this. You're touched by an angel. Oh, we were entertaining angels. I got a preacher friend that's all, God bless him, I love him, but he's all the time praying for angels around our church. God bless you. You can pray for all the angels you want. I just need the power of God. I'm not going to tell him I disagree with him on it, but it's okay. I'd rather have him being that way than some kook that doesn't believe in soul winning.
Yes, sir. Amen.
Well, at least he goes soul winning every week. A lot. Boy, that was a good statement. Getting wrapped up in studying angels should not separate us from the love of God. St. Marcus and St. Luke and St. Bartholomew and St. Holy Cow and St. Whoever and all these... Good Lord, we get into worshiping all these stupid saints, and you got to have one on the St. Christopher on your car, and you got to have St. Michael in your rearview mirror, and you got to have, you know, St. Lucius and wherever, and you got to even have one in the bathroom, St. Stinky Feet or whatever. Lord have mercy. We get so wrapped up in all these studying these spiritual gifts. And spiritual things. We want to sound real spooky. Ooh. What a bunch of junk. Brother Stoltz and I were out soul winning today, and this guy answered the door, and I was talking to him. I said, "You're not from here." "Nope." I said, "Where are you from?" And he looked at me, and I almost said New Jersey, and then he said, "Brooklyn." I said, "I thought you were from Jersey." He said, "I was born in Jersey." I said, "I knew it." And Brother Stoltz and I walked away, and I said, "Brother Stoltz, I said, you are so good at learning foreign languages." He has a gift for foreign languages. He can speak, I don't know how many of them, and he does it with almost no accent in any of those languages. And he picks them up like this. I can recognize areas of our country, drawls, and how people talk like this. I can talk to somebody and say, "You're from Alabama. How'd you know? You're from Mississippi. How'd you know? You're from North Carolina." I know how they talk. I know their accents. I know a South Carolinian from a North Carolinian. I know a Floridian. Folks from Georgia. So all you got to do is ask them to push a button, and they can't push it. They mash it. I can tell by what words they use, how they say their words. I can just tell you, because I've been in so much of our country, I've learned their accents. I'm good at that. I'm not good at the foreign languages. He is. I'm good at the cultural languages here. And, okay, that's our spiritual gift. Whoopee! What good did that do unless we got somebody saved out of it? Amen? Bless the Lord, who gives a rip? I got to hurry up here. Man, you got me slowed down on that thing. Next says principalities. Ooh. Principalities cannot separate us from God's love. That word principalities is the word magistrates. Rulers or governments? Did you know that the United States government can't separate you from the love of God? I don't care what laws Obama made, they can't separate you from the love of God. I know Trump's undoing a lot of them. Thank God for a president that's got some guts. And thank God for people that he put out there that's got the guts to back him, amen?
Mr. Spicer or Spencer or whatever his name, he tore the press up the last few days. Let me tell you, he got them turned on their ear. You know, we can't let the liberal government dictate God's love. They don't love God. Our government will make laws eventually that'll be harder on Christians. I personally believe God has Mr. Trump and Mr. Pence in office right now for the last revival before the rapture takes place. Bible talks about there'll be a great awakening just before. And then he's coming back and all hell's going to cut loose on earth. Amen. For 7 years. And it's going to be ugly. Say, what is that? He's got to give Obama time to set up in the United Nations. Then, powers cannot separate us from God's love. Did you notice we got rid of the beast and the false prophet? Hillary ain't there, neither is Obama. Anyway, I'll let you decide which is which, all right? Powers cannot separate us from God's love. That word power means wealthy, violent, seemingly miracle workers. Did you know that the devil's success copies God's success? Did you ever notice when Moses had to go to Pharaoh and God said, take your rod and throw it on the ground, turned into a snake, and the devil's crowd threw their rods down and they became snakes too? But Moses' snake ate all their snakes. Then God said, pick it up by the tail. He got a rod back. They had nothing. Gotta love it. Till he spit out all the twigs, amen? Now, wait a minute. The devil will copy God's success. That's why you got all these hocus-pocus TV preachers, you know, Ernest Angley, be healed in the name of Jesus. Oral Roberts. Why in the world guy believed in faith healing had to have a hospital? Did you ever wonder that? these guys are nutcases. They want your money, you know, send your seed money. Oh, put your hands on the back of the television and feel the power. Yeah, you'll feel it all right. Put it in the wrong spot, you're going to curl your hair. The devil's success cannot separate. Can I tell you something? These stupid non-denominational rock and roll churches having a lot of people, they can't stop us from loving God.
Amen.
We met a lady today that's interested in coming to church. And I warned her. I said, now, lady, I'm an old-fashioned preacher. I'm an independent Baptist. I said, I tell it like it is. I don't get into none of this junky modern new stuff and the rock and roll trash. She said, I got to come visit. Didn't she? I thought, it's either duck or pucker. Here we go. I was at Big Lots yesterday. I had to get something for the house. I stand in line and a girl looked at me and she had to be 19, 20, 21 years old. She said, you're Brother Bush. I mean, Pastor Bush, aren't you? I wasn't dressed like this. I was in my grubbies. I said, yeah. She said, where's your church at? I told her. She said, I need to come visit. I said, we'd be glad to have you. I still don't know who she was. I really don't. She knew who I was. I was glad it was a pucker moment, not a duck moment, because there's a long line behind me. I didn't want to get whacked by some woman at the cash register, amen? Whew. That's a blessing to me. I enjoy that. Then it says things present, happening, cannot separate us. Notice it says things present. Did you know the things happening in your life right now don't have to separate you from God's love? I don't care how bad they are. Says things present, circumstances going on around you right now do not have to separate you from the love of God. Then it says, by the way, that's because you're only seeing the now. You're only looking at the now. Then it says things to come should not separate us from God's love. Well, I'd go to church, but I don't know how this is going to affect me 10 years from now. You know those people that, I do that, but there's a chance I could get cancer. There's a chance I could get sick if I went to church. Well, good night. You go to Walmart and don't think twice about it. Can I tell you the most unhealthy place in the world to go? The doctor. Did you ever sit in a doctor's waiting room? Man, you talk about scared to death. I walked in the other day, sat down, and I thought, man, I'm in a room full of sick people. I'm not even sick. I found a chair by myself in the corner, you know. Stay away! Mm.
I don't need to get sick right now. I've been working real hard at not getting sick. And I wasn't there because I was sick. I was there because I thought I had a spider bite and ended up with old man disease called bursitis. Now, wait a minute. That potential long-term heartache. We worry about our future. We worry about getting old. Can I tell you something? I'll be 50 in May. I don't give a flip. I'm having fun. I decided I can't change it. I might as well enjoy it. Yeah. Well, it just sounds so old. It doesn't sound so old anymore. Did when I was 20, but it doesn't now.
Right.
Now, 80 sounds a little old, amen, Fred? Not like it did when you were 79, though, right? And I tell you something, you're not going to change it. You might as well enjoy it. Might as well embrace it. I don't worry about it. Brother Stoltz said, "Preacher, I just hope 30 years from now we're still doing this." I said, "Wait a minute, Brother Stoltz. 30 years, I'll be 80. I said, I hope I'm still doing it, but it probably isn't going to be quite as fast. He said, "Yeah, but if we're still alive, I hope we're still doing it." I said, "Me too. It's just going to take us longer. We'll do less of it." Lord have mercy. I'm not even thinking 30 more yet. Whew. Now, wait a minute. I'm hoping the Lord comes back long before then. Can I tell you something? We're so worried about the unknown. What's it going to be like when my kids grow up and they got to go to college and when they got to go do this? And what's it going to be like? I don't know. Wait till you get there and then find out. Sorry, my phone's ringing. It's Pastor in Montana. I love it. Yeah, they're 2 hours behind us. It's about my elk hunt. Let's pray. No. It is, but I'm not going to stop now. The Bible says that height cannot separate us. That means elevated barriers. Things that we think are too high for us to cross. Can I tell you something? They don't make the barrier too big for me to get over or around. I'm working on wearing off some of my Battle of the Bulge here. I'm winning. I told my wife, I told a couple other people, I've just had to decide I'm going to be as stubborn with myself as against myself as I've been with everybody else. Man, I can be pretty tough. I don't like it. I don't like it at all. But I'm the one that got me in this shape. Nobody else did. Nobody else forced me to eat everything that went down the pie hole. I was sitting there eating tonight. My wife made lasagna. Oh, man. You couldn't even get it out of the dish without the strings of cheese being about that long. I was like, Lord, have mercy. And I've been real good. I've been eating a protein bar for breakfast, protein bar for lunch, and that's all I eat, a small supper, and that's all I eat all day long. And I've been exercising. I've been doing all kinds. I've got on the, elliptical. I've been doing 30-minute workouts on the elliptical. Man, I've already lost about an inch and a half on my waist. I haven't lost about 10 pounds. I got a long ways to go. But may I say, I got done eating. And my wife said, "Do you want some more?" I said, "Yep." She said, "I'll get it." I said, "Nope." I said, "You asked if I wanted it, not if I was going to eat it." I had to tell myself, "I wasn't." You don't know how hard it was sitting in that chair and not let her go get that thing. I was like, "Fill that thing up again." But I didn't. I had to be stubborn with myself. No matter how high the barrier is, I got to get over it. Amen. I'm not worried about banks. I'm not worried about building a building. I'm not worried about engineers and architects and structural engineers and excavators and EPA. They don't worry me. They just make me mad. All those other things. We'll get through all those barriers. Say why? Those are things that are higher. And I got to hurry up here. Depth cannot separate us. That word depth means profundity. Now listen to me very carefully here. The intelligent community that thinks we have no sense. Fundamentalism is changing. They're not fundamental anymore. They want you to believe that if you don't have the finer arts and you're not cultured and you don't have you're not using the commentary and exegesis form of teaching the word of God, that you're stupid. Why is it that all those people have to have an easier Bible to understand? Why is it that they have to play God to you? I'm not here to play God. I'm just here to preach God. I'm not here to impress. Couldn't do a very good job of that. But I can preach it plain and true like God said it. You know, I know a lot of intelligent people that have no wisdom. Then, to finish up here, God says, after all those things, I'm going to wrap it up with this one statement. Nor any other creature. He said, just in case I didn't cover something, he said, whatever else comes up, it can't separate you from the love of God. Amen. Doesn't matter what it is. Notice it says creature. That's your puppy dog, your kitty cat, your goldfish. It's hunting, fishing, you name it. It's football. Those guys aren't humans. Those are just creatures, amen? And I'm just going to go ahead and say it. You ought not miss church over a stupid football game.
Yes, sir.
You ought not miss church over a stupid baseball game.
Yes, sir.
There is no game in the world missing God's church for.
Amen.
And God's work for.
That's right.
Sports mean zero. I'm for sports. I love sports. I love playing. I'll stop and watch two doodle bugs on the road and cheer for one of them. I love sports. But may I tell you something? They really don't mean a hill of beans in life. Not one sport in the world ever saved anybody's soul. Ever. Not one sport kept any human being out of hell. Everybody doing okay? Just in case something pops up that God didn't list, he said, this covers it. God doesn't want and will not let anything separate us from him. But we might let it separate us from him. No Christian can ever say that God doesn't love them just because of circumstances. Well, God doesn't love me anymore. I got a flat tire this morning. God doesn't love me. My relative got cancer. God must not love me anymore. Who told you that? The devil?
Yep.
You see, God loves us no matter what. Sin and our sin may separate us by our choice, but God brought that choice back to him when he gave us salvation so they didn't have to separate us.
Amen.
Nothing shall be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. Nay, in all these things we're more than conquerors. The who and the things. The who and the what. Avoid the people that bring all these things to you. Stay away from them. Stay away from them. That's what separation's all about. Every head bowed, every eye closed. I went over a little. I apologize. But I felt like it was important to get it all done at one time. Nothing can separate you from the love of God. Greatest statement you'll ever hear in life.